This is Sam Dharmasena, and you're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.
Part of the reason why I started the project was because I kept thinking that people were being left out of the conversation. And it really messes with you when you don't see yourself in the official narrative. Like, if someone's like, stay home, but you can't stay home, there's no like ways to minimize your risk if you can't. If you have to go to work, if you're an essential worker, if your boss doesn't let you work from home, because that's like a big thing for millennials and Gen Z, we don't have seniority in our work environment. So you don't want, like, you have a whole career to think about. You're not going to lose your career over a year or maybe two, right? Like, so how do those people minimize their risk? But there was no conversation around that. And it made me really upset because it's alienating. If you don't see yourself in the narrative, that's an impossible ask to expect people to interpret official guidelines and like use them in their day-to-day life without giving them like a full-on package of how to do that. And that seemed like fundamentally unacceptable to me.
That's Samantha Krishnapillai, founder of the On Canada Project. Since spring 2020, Samantha has been using social media as a tool to keep her community informed on the state of the COVID-19 pandemic. Having studied the health sector for many years, she says that the COVID-19 updates were more digestible to her than the general public. She adds that the pandemic was still very scary at the beginning, but ultimately she was in her element and that shaped her experience.
I don't have superpowers, nothing like that. Like, it's just, this is the thing I studied. If this was an economic crisis or something else going on, I would be lost. Like, I'd have no idea what's going on. And I was like, so how do I help people who studied something different or learned something different? And when you approach it from that lens, it's a more compassionate conversation rather than some of the blame games that kind of go on through official messaging.
And with this in mind, Samantha started creating thoroughly researched social media posts on her private Instagram around May 2020. Those initial efforts evolved into a 100% grassroots, youth-led, and volunteer-based initiative with around 130 team members today. Scrolling through the public On Canada Project's Instagram feed, you'll find posts explaining the latest travel restrictions, tips on dating during a pandemic, and other scenarios that tend to come up for students, for example, visiting families off campus during the holidays. Until recently, the group went by the name On COVID-19 Project, and now, as of March 1st, they're transitioning to the name On Canada Project. I spoke with Samantha about the On Canada Project and how this transition will also result in more content around social determinants of health and Canada-specific content moving forward.
The one thing I knew from the beginning was like the values of how we were going to do it, that all of our messaging had to, you know, be equity oriented. It had to be evidence informed. It had to be Canadian. And it had to be kind. Like, it just had to be respectful of people's unique circumstances. And not holier than thou or preachy, you know, like it just had to be. So how would I explain it to my best friend who studied economics is kind of how I went about it. And that's what made me start the project. So I always say like I accidentally founded it because I didn't intend for it to grow into 130 people. I didn't intend for it to get like 10K following. I was like, even if there's like 10 people following the account, I've helped 10 people. That's awesome. Like, that's all I can do.
Essentially, they're repackaging existing public health information in a way that resonates with millennials and Gen Z Canadians.
I call it like active citizens, change agents, who are just trying to distill existing information and like make it more user-friendly. In healthcare, we talk about patient-centered care. So how do you put the patient in the center of it and provide them with the care that best suits their unique needs, their quality of life, what their goals are? That's kind of how I've approached how we write our content. I put, you know, my make-believe friend in the middle of it. And I have real friends, but like my make-believe friend in the middle of it. And I go, how do we give them everything they need to make the choices based on public health recommendations or recommendations from experts? Because as the pandemic has gone on, there sometimes we've seen a bit of conflict between that. And there are experts, you know, on spaces like Twitter that are super credible that go in contradiction to like decisions the government's making, because those are political decisions too. So we try to provide people with like, here's what the government's saying, but here's what experts are saying. We shouldn't substitute medical advice. If I tell someone something, like it's a generalized statement. And if your doctor tells you specifically not to do something, like you should listen to your doctor. They know your situation. But we just try to distill the information in a way that like is more user-friendly, I think.
As time went on, those conversations around the pandemic had to be contextualized.
It became evident that you couldn't talk about COVID-19 in isolation. As you know, as many people know, there are so many other like inequalities and inequities in our society that have been further deepened by the pandemic. So in order to be like, this is why this is a crisis in prisons or in for people experiencing homelessness or for people like BIPOC communities, you had to like scale back and be like, okay, wait. Let's like start with the same base knowledge. Here's the situation. And then here's how it's impacting people during COVID.
Social determinants of health are defined by the World Health Organization as non-medical factors that influence health outcomes. They state on their website that in countries at all levels of income, health and illness follow a social gradient. The lower the social economic position, the worse the health. Moving forward, Samantha and her team, as the On Canada project, will create digestible content around these topics. She reassures me that they'll continue sharing information relating to COVID-19, but this way they can paint a better picture as it relates to the pandemic and healthcare more broadly. Along those same lines, Samantha mentions that this transition to the On Canada project will give them more space to discuss healthcare from a Canadian lens.
Our mission is to like help people stay informed, take up action, and champion change. And right now, for a Canadian to do that, it has to be around COVID because every aspect of our life is impacted by that. But I still want people to stay informed, take up action, and champion change around whatever area they care about in the future. So part of us will talk about the, you know, social determinants of health, the broader, like broadening around COVID to be like, what are these like systemic issues that are going on that is making it harder for people to navigate the pandemic and, you know, all of that. But the other area is going to be focused a little bit around really understanding Canada as it stands. One of my biggest pet peeves is when I hear people go like, but our healthcare system is better than America's, or we don't have like issues with our police system here. It's not as bad as it is in America. Like that's like everyone's go-to thing is like we comfort ourselves with the thing of like, we're better than America.
They've already been shining a light on Canadian issues, but Samantha says that there's lots more to come. She tells me about a post they made earlier addressing the attack on Capitol Hill. With this, they provided the American context on the first two slides on Instagram, and then they drew parallels to Canada from there.
I don't know about you, but I feel like my friends and I could tell you more about American systems that exist, like the Electoral College system. They could name five American politicians right off the bat, but they probably couldn't name five Canadian ones, you know? It doesn't allow for civic engagement here because like we're so focused on like what's going on down south. But how do we get people to be informed about stuff like what you're talking about? How do we get them to like have the same base knowledge around an area? And then should they take up action with that? That's their decision. Not everyone can do everything, but everyone can do something. So how do we give people the space to do a little bit of something around an area that they care about? Like I really cared about public health, so I did this project, but what is someone else's project or way of giving back to society going to be?
She tells me that 12 team members will work on a On Canada project social media post before it ends up on their platform.
So we have people who come up with the topics and sort of they kind of like produce the topic and like come up with the ideas and like any really good links or whatever. And what they're hoping like the takeaway message is going to kind of be for this. So like, what are we trying to do here? How are we trying to set this person up for success? And then it goes to our research and engagement team who find ways to communicate it. It then goes to our copy team, our design team, and then it gets reviewed one more time before it's published on our grid. So it like goes through quite a few hands before it gets to posting on our space.
When it comes to choosing social media topics, their team is often in conversation with their community, learning what's on their minds and what they'd like information on.
We actively engage our audience, who again, we call our community, that into like responding to questions. We leave probing questions at the end of our posts so that people write things in the comments and we work off of that to generate like what content. We use our stories to use that two-way tool of social media, which it feels like many politicians have forgotten is an aspect of social media, but it is a two-way tool. So how do we go back and forth and be like, hey, like we'll do the research. You don't have to do it, but like, what are you questioning right now? What do you need support with? So we ask our audience directly, but then there's also the reality that like the people who follow us are paying attention. So how do we get people who don't follow us that still deserve information to navigate this pandemic safely? So what we do is we have our entire core team of 130 people. And then we have an ambassador team of like almost 400 volunteers. And collectively, this group of people share stuff from our grid onto our personal social media accounts, which gets it in front of our friends and family. And every once in a while, we do like a spill the tea. How do you feel about this? Like question box on our personal Instagrams so that we can send those questions to the account and the team to generate content around.
Before signing off, we also spoke about the fact that the On Canada project is entirely volunteer run. Samantha tells me that she wonders what kind of impact would be possible if they had the same reach as government bodies.
I keep thinking that like we're doing something really good, but this is not the standard across. Like our audience is good. Like I'm really proud of the community we have, but if we had funding, if the government was doing it, if you know, like more people would be reached.
To keep up with Samantha and her work, follow On Canada Project on Instagram. They're also accepting donations on their website, oncanadaproject.ca, to continue doing this work. This is Sam Darmacena, and you've been listening to CGRU 1280 AM in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.